The 2021 PGA is in the books. History has been made. Let's take a look back with the guy who hosts the Tiger Woods podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, on Twitter at Believe Podcast. His Twitter handle at Mr. Rogers 99. Cam Rogers joins us. Cam, appreciate the time. Appreciate the patience. How we doing this final week of May?
Hey, Steve, great to be with you as always, my friend. It was a magical weekend in the world of golf. If you told me Phil Mickelson was going to win the PGA Championship, I would have laughed in your face, and here we are. It is truly amazing.
You know, a general question, because forever, obviously, the PGA was the final major in August. You know, we would prep for football, MLB pennant chase. Now, they moved it 2019 for the first time as the second slam event. I was a little skeptical, but, you know, where were you at when the announcement came down, all right, we're going to go Masters PGA back in 2019, and now having seen it played out, has your opinion changed at all?
You know, initially when I heard the news, I thought it all made sense because the PGA Tour was trying to prevent this overlap with the NFL season. If you may recall, Steve, back, you know, in the previous schedule setup, the FedEx Cup playoff would bleed into the NFL season, and even I sometimes would forego the FedEx Cup playoffs to watch my Baltimore Ravens play at 1 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I heard the news, it totally made sense, and once we started to go through the schedule, I was totally about it because that would move up the Players' Championship to March, which really made it a really interesting event because wind was very much a factor in March in Florida as compared to May, when sometimes it'd be a little bit quieter. You had a major championship now in May. Of course, it's a little sad because now you have no major championship in August, but you still have a full slate of the FedEx Cup playoffs, which wrap up before the NFL season. So now it all makes more logical sense. It allows golf to be in more of a vacuum, if you will, and not compete with the NFL, you know, in a non-pandemic year, of course.
No, I've come full circle. I was loving it. But this course, the Ocean Course, the longest in major golf history, and I was trying to explain to people, it played 1,000 yards longer than when Jack won the 86 Masters. But, you know, on the sea, nine holes into the wind, nine holes with it. We know it hosted in 2012. But, Cam, just how great of a setting, challenge-wise, aesthetics, just to set the stage for some great sports theater.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, truly a magnificent course. In fact, the Ocean Course is, to some, the toughest in the United States. So you're talking about a major test of golf. The oldest major champion ever just tamed the beast that was the longest major championship course ever. I mean, it really is truly staggering to think about what Phil Mickelson did. But yeah, the visuals were fantastic. Playing right on the water. It's an American Link style of course. And this course was 200 yards longer than the 2012 version of the Ocean Course, of course, when Rory McIlroy got it done there. So it really was a difficult task for a lot of guys. And, you know, here we are. You're looking at the top 10, and you have some grinders, not necessarily bombers off the tee, that played pretty well. Patrick Harrington, his first top 10 at a major since 2012. Paul Casey doesn't bomb it off the tee, nor does Louis Oosthuizen. I mean, you have Brooks, you have Finau there as well, but it just goes to show that you can get it done anywhere, anytime in the game of golf. You just have to put the work in. Phil Mickelson obviously did that.
Talking with Cam Rogers of the Believe Podcast Network. So while the win was for the ages, and like you said, the first 50-something to capture a slam event, but what struck me was his ball striking. I mean, we know he's always been an elite shot maker. He had the clutch chip to set up the birdie, the approach on 18. But on 16, after Koepka drove it, I think, 337, to see Mickelson drive it 30 yards past the guy, 20 years his junior. How surprising was that, that just his length keeping up on this track with all those young bombers?
Yeah, really remarkable. What Phil Mickelson does so well with his driver is that he goes past parallel, kind of like a John Daly, and that allows him to create that lag and compress the golf ball. Not to get all nerdy here on your very airwaves, Steve, but that's really how Phil Mickelson gets his power. And so we're talking about a guy who obviously takes care of his body very well. He fasts for 36 hours per week, which means he eats no food whatsoever for 36 hours. It's truly remarkable. And you talk about ball striking. You know what? So far this year, it really wasn't there. In fact, he entered the week ranked 176th on the PGA Tour in terms of strokes gained tee to green. So, I mean, from a macro perspective, he's been hitting it horribly. And then he shows up to the PGA Championship and absolutely has a clinic. First time to lead a field in strokes gained tee to green on a PGA Tour event in more than 7 years. So it's been some time for Phil Mickelson. Now, I will say it wasn't a total flash in the pan, Steve, because if you actually go micro in his recent performances on the PGA Tour, yeah, the finishing positions really aren't there in terms of top 10s, but he's been gaining strokes steadily with his irons, and obviously it all culminated in a major championship victory at Kiawah Island.
You know, I guess I'd be remiss if, in speaking with the man who hosts the Tiger Woods podcast, you know, 3 weeks ago I read that Ricky Fowler visited Tiger at home. We saw the photos of him on crutches. Now the nearly fatal crash was almost exactly 3 months ago. So what's the latest on his health, his status, and how Tiger's doing?
Yeah, Tiger Woods is mobile, which is a good thing. He is on crutches. It seems like that boot is not so much a factor for him anymore on that leg there. So obviously that's a good thing too. Yeah, Ricky Fowler actually watched the Masters with Tiger Woods because he didn't qualify for the tournament. So he reported back to all of us that Tiger's in good spirits, which is always nice to hear. You know, you get these little sound bites here and there from other players on tour who talk to Tiger, which is always important to kind of get that information and let us know that he's doing all right, because Tiger Woods isn't the most social media savvy guy. He's not going on TikTok anytime soon, let's just put it that way. So it's tough to really get a read on how he's feeling sometimes, Steve, but you know, all signs point to positivity, good spirits. He's going to his kids' soccer practice and soccer games, so that's fantastic too. As far as a date in terms of a return, I know you didn't ask this, but I'm telling people probably late 2022 or early 2023. So it's going to be some time until we see Tiger Woods. But hey, when you have Phil Mickelson winning major championships, that kind of helps fill the gap, right?
A little bit. A few final thoughts for Cam Rogers of the Believe Podcast Network. In February, Brooks Koepka had a win and a second, and it looked like his knee injury kind of stopped him in his tracks. He missed the cut when he gave it a shot at Augusta, and he also missed the cut at the Nelson. Then he runs second at the PGA. I know he was a little ticked off at the gallery on 18, but safe to say now, moving forward, it's time to reinsert him among the favorites when he tees it up.
You know, there was some disrespect from the sports books last week, Steve, who put Brooks Koepka at 55-1 to win a major championship. I mean, we're talking about a guy with multiple major champions in his own right. And so, I think it was a little surprising that he was that long of a long shot, if you will, to win a PGA championship. And maybe he used that for some fuel to fire. Finished T2 right with Louis Oosthuizen. He was coming off a couple of missed cuts at the Masters and the AT&T Byron Nelson, but had a T2 at the Workday Championship back in February. Look, here's the deal with Brooks Koepka. He's not 100% right now. We know this. He's better than what he was at the Masters when he could barely bend over to read a putt. So I think that is a positive thing. We're probably not going to see much of him, if at all, leading into the U.S. Open, which I think is the right call if you're Brooks Koepka. Rehab, get well, get better, get ready to rock for another major championship. But I think the lesson is learned for sure. If you're the odds makers out there, do not put Brooks Koepka into the same lane as, say, a Scottie Scheffler or somebody of that mold, because, look, Brooks can do it at a major championship at any point. He can burst onto the scene even when maybe he's not 100%.
You know, another guy who kind of got lost because of what he shot Friday and then Saturday when he went 75-74, it was the defending champ, Colin Morikawa, who then shot 68 Sunday. Top 10 finish. We know he won the Workday. He was top 10 at the Heritage. So how do you like where his game is now at the tender age of 24?
Look, I think he might be the best iron player on this planet right now. I mean, he is absolutely flushing it. He has been the entire calendar year. He's in the field this week, actually, at the Charles Schwab Challenge. I like his chances to finish inside the top 10, if not become victorious here. And so, look, I think Colin Morikawa is a great fit for Torrey Pines coming up next month at the U.S. Open. Tight, tree-lined track. It's long, but he's very accurate off the tee, so I don't think rough will be an issue. And when you flush it so consistently, like Colin Morikawa does, you will make cuts. You will finish inside the top 25. The only variable from there, Steve, is how's the putter? Because if he loses like three strokes with his putter, he's going to finish T11 or something like that. But if he is just like field average, doesn't even have to be better than field average, just be a zero putter, he can win any given PGA Tour event. So, look, Colin Morikawa is going to be fantastic for many, many years, and perhaps more major championships on the horizon there.
And lastly, you mentioned it, looking ahead. Crazy to think the U.S. Open starts 3 weeks from Thursday. And if you want drama, you want timing, Phil's going home to San Diego. You mentioned Torrey Pines, the site of Tigers, 08 Open win. You got Bryson DeChambeau, the defending champ. Players like Dustin Johnson just missed the cut. Cam, how much of a great stage is going to be set for our Open?
You're going to hear these five names a lot: Nicholas Woods, Hogan, Player, and Sarazen, all of which have completed the career Grand Slam. Phil Mickelson will look to join that group, Steve. And it's going to be a tall task, there's no doubt about it. Phil even alluded to, hey, this could be the last great win for me, or also the start of something special. He's also in the field this week. We'll see what happens at Colonial. But keep in mind that Phil will be a major storyline for the U.S. Open. And then you talk about guys like Rory McIlroy, who could perhaps knock off another major championship. Brooks Koepka, how will his health be at that point? Bryson DeChambeau, the reigning U.S. Open champion, how can he tame the beast that is Torrey Pines? And, you know, I don't know if you've been surfing on Twitter lately, Steve, but there's a viral video of Brooks not really happy with Bryson DeChambeau from last week at the PGA Championship. I encourage all of your listeners to check that out, because it just goes to show the disdain that Brooks feels for Bryson. And so, gee, I hope the U.S. Open checks out that video and the USGA puts together those two in a pairing in the first couple of rounds, because that would be interesting. But plenty of storylines to track as we go forward, and excited to cover it all as we go.
The USGA has absolutely got to pair them Thursday and Friday. No way, no question about it. Hey, folks, he's Cam Rogers. And, you know, for years now, he's been providing us with some great guests for the Believe Podcast Network. His personal Twitter handle is at Mr. Rogers. Cam, always fun stuff. I appreciate you joining us. And we got to chat when they head for Torrey.
Absolutely, my friend. I'll talk to you then.
All right, take it easy.